Welcome to Future Creators. I'm Robert Brothing.
And I'm Francis McInerney.
Future Creators, that's future-creators.com, is a self-directed, self-paced program for C-level executives who want to scale their companies profitably in our zettabyte era. Francis is Managing Director of Future Creators, and today we're going to talk about the big news from the past couple weeks of Amazon acquiring Whole Foods. Welcome, Francis.
Hey, great to talk to you again, Robert. And the big question we face here is so interesting. The accepted wisdom is that, well, Amazon's got that big engine, that great, fantastic logistics capability, and when you drop that capability on top of Whole Foods, why, Whole Foods will scale magnificently and everything will be great. That's not what our future creator datas are telling us at all. Our future creator data say that you should look at this deal with a lot of caution. And we've had a look at the ecosystem velocity of three companies, Amazon, of course, and Whole Foods, naturally, but the big metric we're looking at is Walmart. You know, Walmart's a super empire. It's scaled phenomenally in the last 25 years. So if you want to understand Amazon and its ability to make anything out of Whole Foods, you better start by comparing Amazon to Walmart. And the data are not all that flattering to Amazon, frankly, and they haven't been for quite some number of years. So that's where the problem begins.
So one of the things, you sent over a great deck this morning going over a number of things. Let's start with the first one, looking at their ecosystem velocities. And we see a stark difference here over the last 4 years between Amazon and Walmart and Whole Foods.
Yeah, it's so interesting. If you look at the ecosystem velocity of Whole Foods, and these slides will be available on full-length videos on our website, future-creators.com, for our clients. What you see is that when you create a sum of the company's ability to turn customer information into cash on the one hand, and if you look at their operating earnings as a percent of total capital on the other, Whole Foods beats both Walmart and Amazon hands down. At the same time, Walmart outperforms Amazon handily. Amazon has been improving a little bit in the last couple of years, but it is not a winner by any stretch of the imagination. And what we see when we look at the Amazon over the last few years is that its velocity has turned up. Yes, that's true. But it appears that management may have begun to realize around 2012, 2013, that there were a problem in its operating fundamentals. And it has tried to make a turnaround. But the turnaround has not come anywhere close to matching Walmart's, or certainly not Whole Foods anyway.
Let's talk a little bit about Amazon's core efficiencies. You know, their days in inventory versus their accounts receivable and cost of goods sold. Where are they in over the past 3 years before the Whole Foods acquisition?
Well, it's an interesting story. If you look at the data, what you'll see is that today Amazon has about 13 days of sales in inventory, and it has about 31 days of sales, 13 days in receivables, 31 in inventory. But what is staggering here is 105 days of sales in accounts payable. 105 days. That's a really stupefyingly large amount, and it begs an enormous number of questions.
Sure.
So what we did was we decided, okay, let's break these data down a little bit. Let's look at the inventory days and compare Amazon and Walmart's inventory days. And what you see is that Amazon has improved somewhat from about 40 or so in 2009 to something like, 34 today. So it's not a huge improvement, really, in their supply chain management. Mm-hmm. Walmart is pretty flat. Walmart's been around 30, 31 days for a long time. Walmart made all of its big improvements in inventory days over the period from 1996-7 to about 2009. So what you have is a situation where Walmart had made all the big moves, and now Amazon is pretty much close to Walmart, no big deal there. But when you move on and you start to break down the two companies in terms of days of sales in receivables, the picture looks different. How is it that Amazon can have 13 days of sales in receivables, and the trend is up in the last couple of years, I have to say, and Whole Foods has only 5? You begin to say to yourself, just a second, 5? Whole Foods has 5, Amazon has 13, you know, Walmart has 4. Now, there is something in the Amazon model at this point that's not clicking. You begin to see evidence that there are some scale issues. Now, you could say 13 days of sales in accounts receivable is really not bad. Right? It's, in fact, very good if you were to look at some large industrial companies. It's phenomenal. But if you look at this retail model, all of the internet interface is, for one reason or another, not allowing Amazon to achieve the inventory efficiencies that it ought to be achieving. And, you know, our clients will find these data really interesting when they get a chance to get a hold of them on our full-length videos, which, as I say, is at future-creators.com. But then this is where it gets really, really interesting. We decided to look at days of sales in accounts payable and compare Walmart and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh my, what a difference. And this is where you begin to ask deep, dark questions about what Amazon is able to do or not able to do, mm-hmm. especially whether or not it can make any deal accretive. Walmart has 39 days of sales in payables and has for decades. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this is they want to keep their supply chain strong. Walmart's core belief is the supply chain must be stable. And to be stable, to supply Walmart, it has to be paid on time. And so they've kept a pretty good track record for two decades now already. I was going to say many, many years, but 2 decades is plenty of years. Now, if you look at the same data for Whole Foods, it's only 11. So Whole Foods is even more aggressive at keeping its supply chain on target for the company and keeping it strategic. Amazon, this is a different picture. Amazon has 105 days. Now, when you look at that, you can say, well, what are they doing? 105 days? Why would you do that? It obviously makes your supply chain unstable. It certainly suggests that you have some kind of operational issues that you haven't addressed. You know, this is the home of Amazon Web Services, but these data suggest there's something wrong with their ERP, which makes no sense on the face of it, but the data are the data, and you just have to rely on them. But if you start to ask yourself, what does it actually mean? It means that if you look at Amazon suppliers, they're carrying an extra $26 billion load that Walmart suppliers would not be carrying. So that's a phenomenal inefficiency in the supply chain, $26 billion. You can flip it around if you want and say, right. Okay, what would happen if Walmart operated as inefficiently as Amazon at Walmart scale, which is, you know, $480 billion every year in sales? That works out to $87 billion of slack in the U.S. economy. That's a lot of dough.
For sure.
So you've got a picture here which suggests to me that this deal may not be as accretive for Amazon as the conventional wisdom says. And our future creators' data you do a deep dive, and these numbers do not come up roses for Amazon. They just don't.
My final question for today, and this is definitely a topic we'll have to keep an eye on, what do you see in the next 12 months, the direct impact what we'll see in terms of the pivot of the bricks and mortar now owned by Amazon and in terms of the Whole Foods hundreds of stores?
Well, you know, I love this question, Robert. I love this question because the answer is not what everyone is thinking about. If you look at your Walmarts and your Amazons, the number one question Future Creators data always forces you to ask is, what kind of power do the logistics of these operations give to their ability to turn customer information into cash fast? And if you look at it that way, you don't look at Walmart as bricks and mortar stores. You look at another piece of data. And this, as I recall, is sitting right on their website, which is that something like 90 or 95% of all Americans live within 15 minutes of a Walmart store. Now, if you were to say to yourself, a Walmart store is really just a warehouse, a delivery warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to say, okay, 15 minutes away from 95% of Americans, that positions Walmart to be the Amazon of Amazons in terms of instant delivery.
Right.
You know, Amazon can't touch that. And I suspect one of the real reasons behind the Whole Foods deal is not foods. It's warehouses and location.
Sure.
And, you know, Whole Foods doesn't have that perfect a set of locations. But what we have here is a Walmart that, if it chooses to do so, can turn itself into the super Amazon of Amazons, because it's got all of that space. The stores are huge. They already have the inventory. No problem if you go onto the web. They know where you are. They can drop it at your door probably in 15 minutes, or maybe not quite, but very close. And Amazon just can't do that no matter how you touch this. So if you look at the data that we've presented here, the Future Creators metrics, and as I say, future-creators.com, you can get the whole video, you're looking at a Walmart potential to squeeze and throttle Amazon to death if it so chooses. And you know, that's my answer to that question, Robert.
Thanks, Francis. You've been future creating since 1976 and seen the good, the bad, and the real ugly. To find out more about this topic and so many others, visit us at future-creators.com. Make sure that you determine outcomes and don't get run over by them. Thanks, Francis.
Thanks, Robert.